Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning. I'm Jeff Greenfield, joined today by our stalwart contributors, Joe Nocera of the New York Times and Rana Faruhar of Time Magazine. For more than 2 years now, we've been hearing that Europe is on the brink of calamity, that Greece or Spain, no, Portugal, Italy, that one of those countries was about to drop out of the Eurozone with awful consequences, or was trapped in the Eurozone with awful consequences. It felt a bit like the boy who cried wolf, but, you know, the wolf did show up. So, Rana, is it now time for rational, thoughtful people to panic?
Well, in a word, yes. And I know you've heard it before, but it really is time now. And here's why. There's three reasons. In just about a week, the Greek people are going to vote to say whether they're going to take another round of these austerity measures that the Germans are pushing on them. And it's very possible that they're going to say no. That would start the process of the dreaded Grexit, as they call it, the exit of the Greek economy from Europe. And, you know, in a way, maybe that's not so bad on its own. China creates the economic equivalent of a Greece every 11 weeks, but it wouldn't be just Greece. Already the markets are so worried about this that other countries are in trouble. Spain is on the verge of a meltdown. Spain is no Greece. That's 10% of the Eurozone. That's a big economy, and it could trigger other dominoes. Finally, Germany, which is the only country that can really fix things, is running out of time. There's a lot of political pressure on Mrs. Merkel right now, and she's only got about another 3 months, I would say, to be able to actually write the big check that she needs to write to cover all the problems in Europe. So yeah, this summer is going to be a big one.
All right, Joe. So if the dam in fact has burst, what specifically does it mean for Europe and not so incidentally for the prospects of President Obama?
Well, if you remember Lehman Brothers in September 2008, multiply that by, I don't know, five times, six times, and you get the magnitude of this thing. I mean, it has the potential to bring about catastrophic bank failures, and then what they call bank contagion. One bank failure leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. In 1931, the failure of an Austrian bank caused bank failures in the United States. Ben Bernanke said just the other day that he is poised at the ready to try and shore up American banks if it happens. The larger consequence, of course, is to the economy itself. If we have another financial calamity, it will be painful for the economy. And by the way, it'll be equally painful for the reelection prospects of President Obama.
So what does one do? What does an individual do, if anything, to protect himself or herself from this calamity?
Well, the truth is there really is not much you can do. There's no point in taking your money out of the bank because we already have deposit insurance. Obviously, you'd probably not want to be so heavily in the stock market. But mostly, and this is what's so painful about this for if you're in our position, all you can do is watch and wait and hope against hope that Europe can work up the nerve to fix the problem. It's a tough situation for us, and I'll say it again. You know, it can't be much fun if you're the president sitting there watching to see where the Spain economy is going and realizing that a lot of your prospects for a second term are riding on what happens in Europe.
Well, since we're talking about disaster, let's talk about the disasters that'll be popping up from the movie screens this summer as Hollywood launches its annual summer onslaught of blockbuster movies. This weekend, it's aliens attacking human beings. Later this summer, young Abe Lincoln will be battling vampires. Rana, is this a case that with the migration to computers and iPads and mobile devices, that the big amusement park blow up the world movie is the only thing that movie screens can offer as a special inducement to come to the theater?
Well, it's really interesting because a few years back when the digital universe really began to explode, we were all told that this was going to mean more choice. There was a book, if you remember, called The Long Tail that was written by Chris Anderson. And the premise of that was that the fact that we had all this digital space to fill would mean more movies, more books, more music, more everything, and that you would be able to, in fact, monetize that, as they say, that there would be all these streams and that there would be viewers for all of them and people would make money on all of them. But in fact, that's not been the case at all. The digital universe has made things very, very crowded, and that has pushed studios in particular towards the blockbuster. They now put more resources than ever before on one or two or three movies, and if they're hits, great, but if they're not, too bad.
Well, as we look ahead to the summer movies, we're going to look ahead in a more short term to next week, with Rana Faruhar of Time Magazine and Joe Nocera of the New York Times. So, Joe, what is blinking on that radar screen of yours?
It's Jamie Dimon week next week in Washington, D.C. He begins his mea culpas on Capitol Hill. So first he will be before the Senate Banking Committee, and then the following week he'll be before the House Financial Services Committee. What will be fun to watch is the way the two different committees treat him. The Senate Banking Committee is led by Democrats. They are furious at the J.P. Morgan loss, and they are calling for increased regulation. And I suspect that his treatment will be pretty painful. On the House side, I suspect it'll be a kinder, gentler kind of Congress. Their tendency is to, you know, not exactly shrug their shoulders, but basically say it's a loss, they're fine, and we don't really need more regulation. So it'll be an interesting contrast to watch in the next couple of weeks.
Well, now we know what Joe's definition of fun is. It's watching Senate and House hearings. Rana, what's on your radar screen?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about what's going on at the Fed. There was some talk this week about whether the Fed was going to start throwing more money at the economy with the jobs numbers coming in so badly and all the trouble in Europe. Ben Bernanke is saying not quite yet. But I think that all of this raises a question about how the Fed works. The Fed has two goals right now, and one is to keep inflation low and to keep employment high. Well, inflation's low anyway because there's no demand in the economy. Unemployment, unfortunately, is still at quite high levels. So I think we're going to start hearing more about a word that's already out there in the Wonka sphere called nominal GDP targeting. And what that means is targeting not inflation and employment, but targeting growth, setting a growth goal, be it 3%, 4%, 5%, whatever it is, and letting the Fed move towards that, guns blazing no matter what.
Well, those are some of the stories we'll be watching. And in fact, we'll be watching all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can take this program with you as a podcast available for free on iTunes. I'm Jeff Greenfield. This is Money Talking from WNYC. Thanks for listening.